come November the 6th, which is Sunday, of course, after now. Also note that there is will be a time change then. Of course, that's way down the road. You'll forget about it by then. But we'll send out our universal text to everybody so that you will not show up here an hour early and have to sit on the parking lot and wait for class to start. Oh, yeah, where am I going? Well, I'm going to go to heaven. I may go sooner than I think, but whatever. We're going to the Mayan Riviera, which is down in Mexico, down deep into Mexico. So we'll see. It's a new place. We'll see. Nothing can go wrong now. But God's with us, so hey, that's all we need to know. All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship. Let's pick up where we left off here and try to wrap this up. We have Paul's getting into this heavy. This is a heavy duty letter. Obviously, it is going to concentrate on a lot of doctrine. Certain things will be repeated that he's dropping information on here. Now let's be sure we kind of get the flow of this before we leave it, because if you're reading it, you know it's comprehension and following the thought process of the human author, and to follow his line of communication here. And in this case, Paul says that, you know, we're thankful for you people because we've had a very good report of everything that's going on at Colossae. It's a viable, healthy situation. It's not like, you know, the Galatians when he caught them, or even the Corinthians. This is a healthy situation. It's not that they're problem free, but it's a healthy church at the time that this was written. And he says that the report is your positive volition in Christ Jesus. See, faith in Christ, doctrine is appropriated by faith. You hear something, starting with the gospel, any doctrine, any information, you embrace it by faith. People believe many things by faith today. And a lot of the many things are not good. They're just told them, and they believe them. You are told about the plan of God. I present to you the information in Scripture. If I give you a detail or a particular thing, you're supposed to, if it's very clear, you embrace that as the truth and add that to the pool of information you have. So that over time, you begin to develop what is called the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. What's that mean? That means we have the Scripture. Whether we have it in us or not, that's the big leap. Getting the information and understanding it under face-to-face teaching, comprehending the details. And there are a lot of details. And that's what churches are not devoted to today. That's what got me fed up. I don't need to come to church every Sunday and be evangelized and given a guilt trip. No, I don't need it. And actually have my salvation undermined. My confidence in it, not the actual salvation, it's intact. Just, you know, all this junk that is put out in pulpits. I have people here call me occasionally from, we want something that'll teach us something. I mean, we hear the gospel every Sunday. Please, we're Christians. Heaven help us, we're Christians. Teach us something. I said, well, you called the right place. We present the plan of salvation, but we go into the details and we own all the whole realm of divine viewpoint. You know, you can't just be fed one food, even if it's a good food. You can't just be fed that and expect to do well. You need the full thing. Fruit, vegetables, meat, all of it. You need to have good health and to enjoy. This is what we're about, and it's very obvious that very rude people, they don't want to hear this because it requires a sacrifice, a commitment, where you can just pop around to church, and they'll glad hand you and goo and ah over you, and all the rest of it. And you hear the same insipid stuff. Truth thrown in here and there, but it's all watered down or outright wrong. That's that, and it's the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. And the only way I can see that you can accomplish this task is to study verse by verse, book by book, subject by subject. Does that make sense? Well, it ought to. You got a book, you're going to read it, right? What do? Just go read little sentences here and there and then close it? You go through it and you comprehend it. Any topic. Now, back to this. What we have here is that, first of all, we got this report that you are positive in Christ and that you are applying doctrine under the concept of love. The love factor. Treating people as God treats us, treating them in grace and love and patience and understanding and all of it. And you have to learn the imperatives. And if you want to know some of the imperatives or what love is and what it isn't, quick example. Get this one. Love does not take into consideration a wrong suffered. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. It does not take, I'm going to deal with this person because they did this to me. Playing games. If they did you wrong, you are not to take that into consideration in your dealing with them. And I hope God puts you right in front of them and you have to make an application towards them. But if you say no and hold back, then you're out of line. Love does not take into consideration a wrong suffered. We have to find out what love is. Love is kind. Love is patient. All these things that we have to get on top of. It's not just some gooey, emotional, hug everybody and his dog stuff. You know, that kind of love. It's not doing these things, but doing these things. And they have been doing this towards the saints. All the saints. So whatever the details of the report were, concrete information and examples of Colossian love for believers there and elsewhere, Paul gets a report. And the reason that they're positive in Christ and the reason they're making application of doctrine, verse 4, is because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which expands beyond just they're going to go to heaven because they're believers. And they are there already. And they've waited a long time for the rapture. I'm going to ask them, how was it waiting, you know, 100 centuries? Well, it was a ball. Well, we were still looking forward to the rapture. Because we want that body's back there on earth and we want it fixed up. And we want to get our soul back in it and get our rewards. Because we don't get our rewards when we go to heaven. I mean, when we die and our soul goes to heaven. We get our rewards when we get our resurrection bodies. That makes sense. We get our resurrection bodies. Then we get our rewards for the things we did in the body before it was, you know, like in the temporal state. We get our rewards for what we did in that body back in time. You can't earn more of them in heaven. Because you won't have to faith rest anything. You know, you won't have to fight your STA and resist temptation right and left, etc., etc., etc. You won't have to do that. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I can't. I can just... So, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, why'd you come here today? Well, don't tell me. Hopefully, and it was not an easy day, maybe, and it's not an easy thing to do, but you decided to overrule the flesh, or some just came with joy with bells on, okay? No problem. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Well, that's good. That's a good... Or I'm in this spiritual struggle, and it's, for some of you, it's like it's written on your face. There's an answer for you. And I've been teaching it. I want you to have plus H. I want you, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Okay. Of course I don't. I don't have a clue in hell. I sit up here in my ivory tower and have no idea what you're going through. I do know what you're going through. And you may be going through a great struggle between your STA and what you perceive as mistreatment or whatever it is. I know other believers that are too. And I'm privileged to be able to try to encourage them. You will get through this. See it through. Don't do the crazy thing. That's what the cosmos does. Resort to something because they got a problem in their life. Resort to, you know, some substance to dull your senses. Some craziness, some whatever. It never leads to anything good. You see all these people, you know how stupid it is. Now you think you're going to be happy, right? You are so stupid. You're just taking your sin nature and your situation and putting in a new one. And it's all going to be better overnight. You can convince yourself of damn near anything. You work at it, you can convince yourself that up is down. Square is round. Work at it a little bit and you can do it. Not a problem. And it's easy to convince yourself, if I had this, I'll be happy. I know, I've been there. I'm not talking like, you know, I'm above all this, and you poor peons. No. Not at all. I know what the struggle is. I've been there, done that. So, one of the things to focus on is I want to get my crown. The time is short. Whether you agree with me or not, I've explained to you why we have 5 years left, max. That's it. I'll take the rapture right now. Period. It'll beat anything. But we don't have much time left. And you get into phase three, and you can't improve upon your eternal rewards. They are locked in down here. And they're going to serve us forever. Can you comprehend living forever? Well, this is my 20 millionth birthday. Boring. We don't need that, okay? Yeah. And we will log time, too. And we will sense it in a different way. On the new earth, in the new city, and the new creation. Yeah. And what God has for us in the afterlife, this is going, according to Scripture, which is ridiculed by the cosmos, pie in the sky, blah, blah, blah. We'll see. We'll see if it's just pie in the sky. It is. And I told someone this the other day. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's not been reported. You haven't seen it with your own visual. It has not entered into the imagination of man, and some people have real fertile imaginations, real sophisticated ones. It has not entered into the imagination of man the things God has prepared for those who love Him. He is going to shower this on His children, but He's going to do it according to there will be differences in us. Remember I told you earlier that as one star has a different magnitude and another, 1 Corinthians 15, so our stars will shine differently? And someone came up to me and that seemed to have some merit. We would call this, if you meet believer X in heaven, you knew in time, every believer is going to have an aura. An aura. Look it up. It isn't like some light that's so bright that you can't see. It's an aura. You will know somehow intuitively their status. Yes, you could know it because they got the crown. That's kind of the ultimate aura. The wreath, as well as other factors. So every day and every way you can lay up treasure in heaven. Jesus said to lay up treasure in heaven. Paul says here says it's reserved in heaven for you, or he says it's laid up for you. So you can pull that lever anytime you want. You can produce eternal rewards, bear good fruit through the day. When you get out of fellowship, you can't. When you're running under your sin nature, we can't. You have to rebound. Father, I confess that. I've been sitting here this whole time putting people down or complaining. I'm sinning. This is out of line. Back off. Rebound. Do something different. Right? There's a lot of things to complain about. Look at the politics we got out there. It's beyond comprehension. I don't even want to go there. It's just really, I mean, I can't believe I stepped into this. But you saw it coming. You saw it coming all along. And if you knew the full truth of it, you would be sick. But if you knew it, it's just staggering. But most people don't know anything because they watch the news. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the message of truth, the gospel, that's where that's your intro. Your intro to the hope. I hear people talking all the time. I don't go around listening, but you overhear people. You can't help but overhear conversations. You're in a restaurant, you're here, there. You hear these little bits and pieces of stuff. Guess what they don't have? They don't have any hope. Even if they're believers, they don't have any hope. Well, they have it, but they don't have it as a comfort and an encouragement to them. They flat don't have it. They do not see where we're at fully. They may have some inclination. Things are getting bad and it's going to get worse. But they don't have any hope to offset all this negative stuff that's in our world today. They don't have any hope. Their hope is in this life. I hope America will get her act together. I hope the politicians in Washington will start treating us right for a change. No, they don't have any intention of doing that. And they know that they are not popular. But they don't care. They just want to get reelected and serve their own masters. So, these people have no hope. Watch a movie. Watch a show on TV. I'm not advocating doing it. I'm just saying, you see this. The storyline and everything. Do any of these people have any real hope in God? God gets mentioned once in a while. I don't mean just cussing. God gets mentioned once in a while. But it's all nothing. They don't have any hope. The guys that wrote it, people don't have any hope. Listen to this song. How many million love songs have you listened to? They don't have any trust in God. Listen to the lyrics. They're all beside themselves. They got to find this person, or they lost this person, or said eight different ways, and it all comes out the same way. You don't have any hope. If your trust was in God, He'll provide you with the perfect person. Not perfect, perfect, you know what I mean. Just bring me the perfect person. Well, there's no Jesus Christ clones around, so you're not going to get one of them. See? And they're all strung out. Oh, yeah, you know, that's why we have the blues. As a genre of music. You don't see them have lines there, but I'm going to trust God. He's going to take care of this. And if I never see her again, God will provide somebody else. But I'm relaxed in the meantime. And I'm not going to spend my life making myself miserable by my song, by my album. Those people like to wallow in this. Country and Western has to be the worst. Never mind. But all of them, they don't have any hope. And in this life, they don't have any trust in God. Oh, they talk about Him from time to time. Dear Lord, just send me this person. But I'm all strung out. No, there's no faith. There's no faith. There's no, none of these things exist. So, you know, I pity them. I mean, you know, I wish they weren't that way. I'm here to point them in the right direction and give them information so they can start getting some hope and their happiness not built on their children and their marriage and their health and 100 other things that can go south. Their hope's built on God's word, because these things can and will be removed from people. And then what are you going to do? I'm going to trust in God. That's what Job said. This is the hardcore crowd. If the Lord kills me, I'm going to trust in Him. I'm not going to badmouth Him. I'm not going to do anything like that. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you can get to that high ground in a situation where you have suffered some loss, a broken marriage, this or this or this, you're in a very good place. Because if your happiness is strictly, I'm happy because, yes, you enjoy the things God gives you and the good relationships, and all that's fine. But its source came from God. If a part of that's removed, what are you going to do? The truth still is the truth. You're just being tested. So you can build up even more SG3. So they were first introduced to this wonderful subject through the gospel. All their pagan religion and all the stuff they went through and all the hoops they jumped through, they had no hope. They were just getting by in the ancient world. And Epaphras, one of their own, came back from Ephesus and he wasn't the same. He had a message. It was the gospel. And God blessed him with a presentation of it to the citizenry. And out of that formed these believers who came out from that and identified themselves with the truth and the gospel. And he says, you know, this gospel is advancing. And since the apostles died, it continues to advance. And to this day, it's advancing. People are hearing the way of salvation. There are individual evangelists or people taking the gospel into some little rinky-dink village in the heart of Africa. There are people believing. It's advancing. It keeps on advancing. Through all the turmoil of human history and all the rest of it, because before it all started, in eternity past, God knew who would believe if given a chance. So He made us elect before we ever believed in Him, because He knew we would believe. He doesn't fix that some can and some can't. That is not becoming of God. He is not a respecter of persons. He does not play favorites. Some people feel real down and out because of circumstances of life. Look, you have the same opportunity as the next person. You can't say that in other realms out here. But in the Christian life, you have the same chance to get on board and get with it. And to get to get the full measure of what God has for those who love Him. Beyond the salvation package, which is obviously phenomenal and foundational, which has come to you just as it is in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. This is the advance of Christianity through the dispensation. There are forces of darkness that would like to shut this down. They're not going to be able to do so. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And we have the legitimate church of Jesus Christ, and we don't have any weapons we use to advance our cause. We don't torture people. We don't, well, some Christians have, but we don't do that. Here as it is. Here's the message. Take it or leave it. It's your choice. Like anything else. Christianity is advancing to the church age. Jesus told His disciples and gave them the mandate to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, these individual men couldn't have done that. They just did it for their generation and the areas that these 12 spread out in and did their thing. And then they died, and then others picked it up and continued to take it. It went to Europe. It went to Asia. It went. Under some unusual circumstances, too, the gospel was spread. God knows who's positive. Great evangelism in India as a result of British imperialism. How about that? British imperialism. We want more land. We want more of this. We want to run the show. We want to dominate. We want to, the British Empire. with the old saying, the sun never sat on the Union Jack, their flag. Well, it sits on it now. But God uses these things to advance His plan. He doesn't even have to, he can use, people don't even have to be squared away, just they're out getting the gospel. I heard a story. There was this big old guy. He wasn't all quite there. Let's put it that way. And the original founder and owner and CEO and whatever you want to call him of Florsheim Shoes. And that's way back. And traveled by train. And this fairly small man, meticulously dressed, he comes into this place and there's this big old guy who wants to witness to him. And he accosts him and has him like this in his face. And he's giving him the gospel. We don't advocate that. And as I said, the guy isn't all there. But that's how that guy got saved. That was the story I once heard. Weird, isn't it? This is how God uses people. I mean, you know. So the gospel is advancing. And there's unbelievable stories of how certain people got in touch with this lifeline. Out there in the sea of chaos, the truth came to them. To those before us and after us and all the way to the end. And when the last person gets on board, the rapture will occur. And then we'll start all over again. Let's evangelize the whole planet in every language with God using an angelic messenger. And preach the gospel to everybody on the earth so everyone will hear it. All those left behind after we're out of here. How about that? So, we continue to promote the good news of Jesus Christ. And Bible doctrine to the few out of all that are even positive. Even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Nothing higher could be said of someone than that. He's one of our subordinates, but he's on our team. And he's faithful, and you Colossians, you're blessed to know this guy. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. So, in point 30 on page 8, and growing refers to the historical advance of the gospel via evangelization. You have the truth within you, and you can witness to people. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Now, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know, because they don't want to look bad. Well, how'd you come to be a Christian? I'm curious. What'd you have to do to become a Christian? Because sometimes you can expose things. Well, I'm just a good person and go to church. Well, that isn't going to cut it. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to push that button. The gospel. The report was designed to encourage the Colossians that the gospel is making inroads throughout the world. We rejoice when we hear of this. 32, the gospel had reached Rome and beyond. 33, and the words, even as it has been doing in you also, reference additional converts in Colossae since their initial evangelization. Hence the word, since the day you heard of it, again, a reference to their initial evangelization. The Colossian saints, point 35, both heard and understood the message of their eternal salvation. For Paul, the grace of God is at the heart of the gospel message. That God can just wipe our slate clean, forgive us, give us eternal life, because we did the easiest thing imaginable. We believed in a person, Jesus Christ. 37, salvation is a grace gift bestowed freely by God to all who believe. Tons of documentation for this in Scripture. That's how you appropriate salvation, or how you receive this free grace gift. There are no strings attached. You can't mess it up, unlike many teach falsely. Their gospel is you can lose it and have to regain it. We're not a part of that. We don't go there. Believers can do some really bad stuff. They're still believers. Verses like Ephesians 2:8 tells us it's not of works. A great percentage of the human race who believe in some sort of an afterlife believe that our behavior on earth determines our eternal destiny. It does not. Works will not get it. There's a place for works, but it isn't there. The Colossians not only heard the message of salvation, they truly comprehended the grace that came to them. The grace of God in truth makes it clear that salvation is by grace and lines up with absolute truth. It's true that Christ came, died, and salvation is based on faith in Him. Again, the truthfulness of the gospel is reiterated against a background of distortion and perversion of the Christian message. 41. In conclusion of this discussion of the movement of the gospel, Paul identifies the evangelist who first introduced the gospel to the city of Colossae. Verse 7. Paul's choice of verb learned has a distinctly academic sense, as in learn the parable of the fig tree. By root, by emphasis, by detail. Teachers, teaching people, learn this. So it's the learning curve. Again, compare Ephesians 4:9, where Paul uses three closely related words for perspicacity. There's a big word for you. Perspicacity is by grace. The things which you learned and received and heard and seen in me. I am a walking message in the way I conduct myself and the way I do things. You can learn from people by observation of the way they handle in their Christian life. I saw how she handled that. That's perfect. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Yes. The things you have seen in me. So notice how he lines all those words up there in that Philippians verse that we wrote down here. Learned, received, and heard. To learn is to be intellectually enlightened, Ephesians 4:20. But you did not learn Christ in this fashion. He's talking about things that aren't correct, and this has nothing to do with Christ. Epaphras was a common name among slaves. 46. It is a shortened form of Epaphroditus, which means honored by Aphrodite. How would you like to walk around with that name as a Christian? What's your name? Honored by Aphrodite. I'm going to go change my name right now. Then someone would come up to you and say, well, Daniel and his friends, they didn't run out and change the new names that they were given when they were incorporated into the Babylonian environment. Go read about it. And then he'd go off screaming and making an issue out of it. A name's a name. You were given a name. So his is a shortened form of honored by Aphrodite, the goddess of love. A certain Epaphroditus is mentioned by Paul in Philippians 2:25 and 4:18. I don't think he said, and you really need to change that name. 48. Epaphras was the founder of the church at Colossae. He was also influential in Laodicea and Hierapolis, which are in the neighborhood. 4:13 of this book. 50. He is the one who informs Paul the status of the Colossians. Verse 7. 51. His name appears again in the closing of the letter and in a greeting in the book Philemon. 1:23. 52. He is highly commended by Paul, as seen in the descriptive terms, beloved, dear. In other words, we don't just call people dear and beloved that aren't nitwits. Fellow servant and fellow servant minister on our behalf. Our refers to Paul and Timothy. Stay in the context, in the flow. 54. Beloved is a term of endearment, as in our dear friend. That's my dear friend. And a bond has been established. That's my dear friend. I'd like to introduce you to my dear friend. 55. Fellow slave denotes a close relationship and a common enterprise. We are servants of God. If you like, we are slaves of God. 56. This term specifies his position as an authoritative delegate of the gospel ministry. 57. The title faithful servant of Christ refers to Epaphras' work in the ministry. Of Christ is probably an objective genitive, as in trusted worker for Christ. 59. Following the discussion of Epaphras' role in establishing the church at Colossae, Paul makes mention of his role in bringing a report on the status of the church. Verse 8. He also informed us about you. 60. The report can be trusted, as this man has proved his worth, having brought the gospel to the city, and a man that came highly commended by none other than the Apostle Paul. 61. The attributive participle who is informed provides further information about Epaphras. The verb informed, del a'o, can be used for hidden knowledge or simply reporting of information. The phrase, your love in the Spirit, refers to an expression of their faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. This is the only explicit reference to the Holy Spirit in Colossians, interestingly. This love is said to be in the sphere of the Spirit. God is love. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And lo and behold, when we're in fellowship, we're under the controlling ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we emphasize divine love. The doctrine behind this is the doctrine of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. The love is the various applications believers make towards one another. And this is a whole smorgasbord of stuff at any given time. Going out of your way, doing big things, doing small things, doing everything, everyday things, relationship with your spouse, relationship with everybody around you. The touchstone is love, which is defined by the imperatives, do this, don't do that. Because if you're doing that, how can you say that you are walking in love? How can you hate somebody? And hate takes different forms, doesn't it? It's not just one form hate takes. That's the big theme of 1 John. You can't be committing mental attitude murder towards your brother in Christ and be walking in love. Now you can knock that off and rebound and get back on track. So if anything against another, you need to at least start with yourself and resolve that. You won't talk to them anymore. You won't give them the time of day. Doesn't sound right to me. Particularly if they're in Bible class and they're coming for it. You don't pray for them? Well, then you're not demonstrating love towards them. Love of the brethren, again, isn't just some bunch of emotionalism. It's a mental attitude. You can't be loving your brother and sister in Christ and treat them that way. So you knock that off and you start treating them this way. If you treated someone bad, you need to tell them, look, I'm sorry. Where appropriate, you don't have to run around all over the place. I apologize for that. And they're supposed, and then the ball is in their court, and they have got to forgive you as Christ forgave you, as Christ forgives them and all the rest of us. Forgive as Christ forgave says exactly that. You say, well, that was so bad, I don't think I could ever forgive that person. Well, you need to get on your knees and you need to start praying about that, and you need to open your Bible. Because you need to get that monkey off of your back. Because it will drag you down spiritually. Non-forgiveness puts you in a bad way. Now, momentarily, yes, like a lot of things. Bam, I'm off of that. I'm back on it. Oh, bam, I'm off of it. Until eventually it gets to the point where you're thinking about a lot of things. And you begin to think, in some cases, you did the same thing. Okay. But theirs was much worse, wasn't it? All right. So the love is the various application made toward one another. Paul generalizes here as he probably heard stories regarding the congregation. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.